Time now for Inside the Huddle on WILO, hosted by Ken Hartman. This program will focus on area schools and all the sports they have to offer. Ken will speak with coaches and players across the region, and your participation is encouraged. Call now at 659-3338 to discuss local or statewide sports. Inside the Huddle is brought to you by Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Now here's your host, Ken Hartman.
Saturday morning to you, and welcome to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. On this week's show, we're going to have Southland Conference Commissioner Tom Burnett on here very shortly, and then we're going to be at 9:45. We're going to have Purdue University football play-by-play guy Tim Newton. But until then, we're going to say good morning to Tom Burnett. Tom, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, Ken. Great to be with you again.
Great to be with you guys again. How you been down there?
Doing well. We're enjoying the heat of the summer finally here, and it'll cool off again in late October down here in Texas.
Yeah, it's gotten hot here too. I mean, it was like in the 90s here the last couple of days, and you know, then we got some storms to go along with it. So we're getting that stuff right now. So it's just that time of the year.
That's so, right. Thank you.
You guys had a big conference meeting here last month. So talk a little bit about what went on there.
Yes, you know, certainly, Ken, there's a lot to keep up with just in college athletics in general. Certainly, you know, across the NCAA, there's name, image, and likeness issues that are kind of coming to a head, you know, this summer. And, we're in a brave new world with transfer availability for student athletes. And certainly, as we've talked about before, we've got some pending membership issues that we continue to work on. And, of course, still trying to do all the things we can to enhance competition and academics for our student-athletes. So, you know, just like any spring or summer, there's a lot going on, and, we're trying to stay on top of all of it.
You brought up NIL, name, image, and likeness. What's your thoughts on that?
You know, I think we're at a moment, certainly, if maybe not beyond the moment, where I think we all need to recognize that there are some opportunities for select student athletes, to benefit from NIL. And I'm probably in the camp where I'm not opposed to that. I think certainly also being in the camp where this has to be done within the educational enterprise of higher ed. And, it's not pay for play. But if there are student athletes that, have opportunities, not related to, the athletic enterprise, then certainly I'm open to opportunities for them. And I think we see some concepts out there that, work, in my view. Certainly, I will tell you, when I was a student, I worked for the student newspaper in college, and I was paid for that. Mm-hmm. And, there should be opportunities, whether there's something like that or, in this new social media world, there may be influencers and such that may be able to monetize their social media following. So I think we're open to all of that, as long as it remains, disconnected from someone's athletic ability and is not used as an inducement for a student athlete to attend and participate at a university for athletic purposes. So, it remains to be seen where we finally land, but I think some things are coming to a head over the next few weeks, and hopefully we'll know what we're doing going forward.
How do you guys avoid turning NIL into a pay for play?
Well, that's a good question that has some complicated answers, and I think ultimately, you've got to be able to monitor what's going on, your student athletes that are involved with opportunities such as this. need to be, you know, transparent in their process. And I think what you're seeing is a lot of schools are working with third-party groups that can help monitor, you know, what those students are involved with. You know, did they go sign some autographs for payment? Did they, you know, provide a lesson in their particular sport? There's companies out there that are willing to help and help, you know, schools monitor exactly, you know, what those opportunities are and all of that. So, you know, again, it's going to have to be closely watched, you know, recorded what happened. Certainly anything kind of over that line, so to speak, you know, could very well be an NCAA infraction, and you know, that's anything that is considered pay for play. So it's going to take quite a bit. It's one thing to say let's just have it, but you know, keeping up with it, monitoring it, is going to be a huge task for all of us in athletics.
Now, have you guys scripted for on the NCAA side of things? Have you guys scripted a list of possible what would be considered an infraction?
You know, I think that's kind of an ongoing effort. I think we, you know, are all familiar with kind of what the rules are now, and it's probably easy to say, well, if this occurs, as it's, you know, could have always occurred, then it's a clear violation and such. But you know, it's going to evolve over time. I think as we get into NIL, you're going to see, you know, people get more and more creative with what the opportunities may be, and there's probably some things we're not even thinking about that we will have to think about in the future. So I think that's going to change over time, and we're just probably to some degree going to have to get into it to realize what we're really dealing with and how that changes over time.
You guys, during your conference meeting, entered into a multi-year agreement with ESPN. Talk a little bit about, for campus originated programming or productions, talk a little bit about what that is and how you're going to handle that.
Yeah, you know, people may be familiar with, you know, programming, digital programming on ESPN Plus or ESPN 3, you know, via the ESPN app or the website. And essentially what we have seen over time is that, you know, campuses have developed, you know, productions with an ESPN look and feel, for, that platform, that digital platform. And we've been doing a lot of that. The conference has been doing quite a bit of it over time. And some of our schools were doing it, but we're making a move now in the second year of a new ESPN agreement where, you know, really all of our schools will be investing in that programming. And, you know, we're going to go from maybe, you know, 300 or so ESPN productions. You know, I think it might not be unreasonable to think we may triple that in this coming year. And, you know, you might be doing 800 to 900 productions in due time, maybe not this first year, but we're going to exponentially increase the number of our digital productions. And you're seeing that across the country. People are doing this, campuses, it's kind of hard to find campuses that are not doing this, certainly at the Division I level.
Okay. Also, you guys went ahead and have a, has been, I guess, termed a unique pre-conference men's and women's basketball event. Plus, you got to have a different baseball format. So first, let's talk about the men's and women's basketball situation.
Yeah, you know, with our membership change, that naturally lowers the number of conference games we were going to have, and just trying to be creative and innovative in this coming year, the idea of a tip-off event, which kind of mimics, some may remember back in the day, there were some conferences that would have holiday classics really before conference play started, and this is somewhat modeled after that. It's going to be a big event. It's going to be different. You know, conferences haven't done something like this in a long time. And certainly where every school in the conference is involved, I'm not quite sure I can remember that, even when I can, remember back to, you know, some of the holiday classics that leagues had. But, you know, it was just a way to increase the number of Division I games that our members have. And so it'll be three more games in a period of time where we're not quite ready to start conference play, but other conferences will be playing. Thus, it would have been hard for us to find opponents that week.
Right.
So we're going to kind of play each other in kind of a random schedule, women's teams and then men's teams, and, you know, a full week of basketball, actually an event that will be bigger or have more games, I should say, than our actual end-of-season tournament. So it'll be unique. It's another opportunity to put programming on ESPN+, and I think our folks are looking forward to it. They don't know who they're going to play yet. We're going to draw those randomly during our fall you know, basketball media day event. But
okay.
So it'll be somewhat of a surprise, but it's a different kind of event. The baseball tournament was really just something that kind of grew organically out of our coaches group. You know, they wanted to, you know, have a different way to, you know, reward a couple of teams that have played well. And I think, as you've seen, the top two seeds will host four teams on one weekend, and they will play, I guess, something similar to the NCAA regional format on those weekends. And then the two remaining teams will go to the higher seed on the second weekend and play a best two out of three at that location. And that team that wins will be our automatic qualifier. So just something a little bit unique. We'll see how that goes. You know, that may be something that sticks. I think our baseball coaches are, you know, really looking for something new and creative. And we'll see how that goes. But, you know, it's a neat opportunity to have a couple of locations at least, you know, have some opportunity and excitement around postseason baseball.
I was going to say, it gives your teams and your everybody involved a postseason feel before it actually gets here. So,
absolutely.
So, also, you're still a member of the basketball selection committee, aren't you?
I am. I've got one more year remaining. I'll serve as the chair of that group in the coming basketball season.
So any major changes we need to think about, or you think it's going to happen or not?
Well, you know, what you hope, Ken, is that we're back to playing a normal, regular tournament like we have in years gone by. Of course, we haven't done that in a couple of years since 2019.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, that means we're playing at 14 sites, beginning with the first four in Dayton and continuing on through first and second rounds, the regionals, and what we hope is a great Final Four at the Superdome in New Orleans. So that is a lot of our focus right now. Certainly very gratified that we were able to get the tournament in, no matter how we had to play it in the controlled environment of Indianapolis. But, you know, our hope is we don't have to do that again, and we can kind of motor forward with you know, the usual tournament that's a nationwide event that played at a lot of different sites.
And I take it, after dealing with COVID last year, that you appears to be full steam ahead for everybody this year.
Well, we certainly hope so. You know, certainly we've got to continue to work on, you know, eliminating or mitigating to some degree, you know, the remaining aspects of the virus, and hopefully we're on a path to do that. But, you know, I think while we'll kind of have to keep that in mind and how we address that going forward for those that may not be vaccinated, choose not to do that, we certainly think that as we watch other, you know, sports, professional, college World Series, will have 100% capacity this weekend. And, you know, we hope that's just a sign of things to come, that we can get back to normal and have fans and folks participating in athletics in a safe and healthy manner.
One of the last things I need to ask you is, where are you at with your expansion? I know you guys lost several members, including the FCS champion, Sam Houston State. Where are you guys standing, and what's kind of your options?
Well, you know, we're still working on it. No breaking news today, but you know, we're working through our process with our university presidents, and you know, I think the idea is that before the summer is out, we'll have an idea of what we think our league looks like long term. You know, for the short term, we've focused on, you know, our eight members and what we're planning to do in the coming year. And but certainly there's also parallel to that a long-term planning process, and that certainly includes you know, the potential of new members. But not quite ready to make any announcements or anything like that. Sometimes this is a bit of a slow drip, and it takes some time for university presidents to kind of work through their process, and that's just kind of where we are.
You know, and the one thing that kind of hurts you guys is that you really don't have that many schools that fit geographically with your conference sitting right close to you that may be looking.
Well, we think we're in a good area, and we think there's some opportunity, but, you know, I think it's safe to say that, you know, that there need to be some really compelling reasons for, you know, schools to maybe, you know, join your conference, maybe even leave another conference or make a subdivisional change of sorts to participate with you. But again, just another thing we're working through, and you know, we hope later this summer we have an idea of what that looks like going forward.
Okay, Tom, anything else you want to bring up before I let you go?
Just hope everyone has a great summer, and always appreciate the opportunity to visit with you, Ken.
I always appreciate visiting with you, Tom. You guys take good care down there. Try and stay cool if you can down there. I know it's kind of kind of hard to do right now. You take good care.
Yeah, you too, Ken.
All right, talk to you later, Tom. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's been Tom Burnett, who is the commissioner of the Southland Conference. We're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper.
Life insurance is one of those subjects that make people want to change the subject, rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on, by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house insurance, or life without having to give up college insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on with your family. Call State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort at 765-659-5678 and put the life back in life insurance.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one source for the latest news in Clinton and surrounding counties. But that's not all we have to offer. Listen to archived audio from the past five programs on the Party Line program every day. Plus, make sure you chime in our weekly poll question at the bottom of the page. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper.
Philo is getting ready to bring something new to Clinton County that has never been done before. Local news, information, and maybe a little entertainment for the Latino community in Frankfort. Hi, I'm Monica. Join me and WILO Program Director Kevin Keith for Ahora Clinton County, or Clinton County Now. The show will be delivered live and in Spanglish so everyone can follow along. Our first show will be Wednesday, June 2nd at 7 p.m. and then each and every Wednesday, always at 7. Tell your amigos and friends to make plans to tune in to 1570 AM or 96.9 FM. Or you can also stream online at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com for the station that truly cares about the entire community.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over, until one day I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. Many thanks to our first guest, to Southland Conference Commissioner Tom Burnett. And coming up at 9:45, we're going to have Tim Newton, the voice of Purdue football, on. He'll be with us at 9:45 this morning. So until that time, we've got some time to kill. So if anybody wants to bring any comments or questions, 659-3338, 1-800-447-4463 are the numbers. We're going to discuss here for a little while, at least anyway. We're talking about all the latest in Major League Baseball, NBA, and NHL, and there's been a lot of stuff going on here. Let's first look at the NBA situation as the playoffs are starting to take a little bit of shape here. Last night, Philadelphia evened their series with Atlanta with a 104-99 victory in Dixie last night, so the series is tied at 3 games apiece with Game 7, the deciding Game 7, 8 o'clock on TNT on Sunday night. Utah blew a 22-point lead in the third quarter, just like Philadelphia did. Something else the other night is they blew a 26-point lead at home against Atlanta. And the LA Clippers won their first ever series semifinals with a 131-119 victory over the Jazz. So as we said, it's the first time in Clippers history, 50 years worth, that they are going to a conference final. Utah bows out a little bit earlier than what a lot of people thought, but anyway, that's what's going to take place. Tonight, 8:30 on TNT, the Game 7 of the Milwaukee-Brooklyn series will be played in Brooklyn. That series is tied at 3 games apiece. And then, as we said, Game 7 tonight in Brooklyn on TNT. Then on Sunday, besides Game 7 of Atlanta and Philadelphia, you have got it'll be the first game of the Western Conference Finals between the LA Clippers and the Phoenix Suns. 3:30 on ABC. Suns are the host team in this best of seven, so they will get the first 2 games on. What will be interesting in that situation is the overall health of Chris Paul, who has contacted COVID, so he may or may not be available for Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. We'll have to see what goes on. NHL last night. Vegas blew a great opportunity to take the series lead last night up in Montreal, as Montreal rallied and won in overtime last night by a score of 3-2. The Canadiens lead that series now 2-1, with Game 4 set for Sunday in Montreal, 8 o'clock. That's on NBC Sports Network. In the Eastern Conference Finals, Tampa Bay faces the New York Islanders. I can't even talk right now. New York Islanders tonight, 8 o'clock. That's on USA Network. Tampa Bay leads that series 2-1, so the NHL is starting to get down towards their Stanley Cup. Major League Baseball last night, and this is going to be a little drawn out as well. National League games from last night. We have the trying to find the Cubs score here real quick. Okay. They lost to Miami by a score of 10-2. St. Louis lost to Atlanta by a score of 9-1. It was Washington shutting out the Mets by a score of 1-0. It was Colorado defeating Milwaukee in 10 innings by a score of 6-5. LA shut out Arizona by a score of 3-0. Philadelphia lost to San Francisco by a score of 5-3. And San Diego defeated Cincinnati by a score of 8-2. American League from last night. The White Sox, were down in Houston and got beat by the Astros by a score of 2-1. Also last night, Oakland defeated the Yankees by a score of 5-3. It was Baltimore over Toronto by a score of 7-1. Minnesota defeated Texas in 10 innings by a score of 7-5. It was Kansas City over Boston 5-3. The LA Angels defeated Detroit by a score of 11-3. And it was Seattle over Tampa Bay last night by a score of 5-1. The lone interleague game last night saw Pittsburgh defeat Cleveland in a wild and crazy game by a score of 11-10. Games scheduled for the day today in the National League. The Marlins and the Cubs get together at 2:20 at Wrigley this afternoon. Pablo Lopez and Jake Arrieta are the scheduled starting pitchers. It's 2:20 this afternoon up over at Wrigley. Fox games on the day today. There's 3 of them listed on the schedule. St. Louis and Atlanta go with it 7:15 with Adam Wainwright against Drew Smiley. Cincinnati's at San Diego at 7:15. Vladimir Gutierrez against Miguel Diaz. And then the White Sox and Houston get together also at 7:15. Lance Lynn against Framber Valdez. The ESPN games on Sunday this week. We'll have St. Louis Atlanta game time 7 o'clock on Sunday night. And the Cubs finish up their series against Miami on Sunday at 2:20 at Wrigley. Taking a quick look at the Major League Baseball standings, I think there only four teams in the American League that are playing 600 baseball and only two in the National League. So something tells you something's going on here. In the National League, the Mets are leading the Eastern Division over the Phillies by 4.5 games, as they have a record of 35-27 and are 5.5 ahead of Atlanta. In the Central Division, the Cubs have a one-game lead at 39-31 over Milwaukee, who's 38-32, and the Reds sit in third place, 35-33. Cardinals are at even 500. They're back at fourth place, four games behind. Out west are the two teams playing 600 baseball in the National League, San Francisco, who I believe, yes, they do. They have the best record in baseball right now at 643. They are 45-25. They're 2.5 games better than the Dodgers, who are sitting at 42-27. Padres are sitting third at 40-32. So that's a look at the National League. Over in the American League, White Sox have the second-best record in the American League. We'll get to the one team that has the best one here in a second. White Sox lead the Central Division by 3.5 over Cleveland, who is the only other team in that division above 500 at 38-29. Kansas City's in third, sitting back at 11 games back. In the East, Tampa Bay is the best team over there. They have a half-game lead on Boston. Tampa Bay 43-28. The Red Sox are 42-28. So only a half game separates them. Yankees sit in third at 36-33. That's six games out of first. Out west, the best team in the American League is the Oakland A's. They are playing 620 baseball at 44-27. They have a two game lead on Houston. It sits at 41-28. And we have two 500 teams out west. Seattle is 36-36. They're 8.5 back. And the L.A. Angels under Joe Maddon, former Cubs manager, is also 35-35. They're playing 500 ball, and they're 8.5 games back. So we'll see who all comes out of that crazy schedule as well. Let's look at some UEFA European Championship soccer schedule for the day today. Going on right now as we speak, we have Hungary against France. And then at noon, you're going to have Portugal and Germany. And then on at 3 o'clock, those first two games are on ESPN. At 3 o'clock on ABC, you have Spain and Poland. So that's the UEFA soccer schedule for the day today. One other thing of note, the U.S. Open, who has had very little fanfare in golf, is going on at Torrey Pines in San Diego. And you have two leaders who have been, who are not that well-known, Richard Bland, who is an international player, and Russell Henley, both are at 5-under. There are 18 players within 5 shots of those two, and 9 more within 6. So the players that made the cut, only 9 shots separate the co-leaders from the last 14 above the cut line. So a very tight, mixed, jumble group out at the U.S. Open, out at San Diego, at Torrey Pines. And that's going on as we speak out there right now. And I have to confess, normally I like to watch golf. I have not seen a single shot from the U.S. Open because of us being late. And because of being where it's being played at, I have not had an opportunity to really sit back and watch it. But I might try and get a little bit of that in this weekend if everything works right. Louis Oosthuizen is at 4-under, as is Matthew Wolf. He is also at 4-under. And you have Bubba Watson at 3-under. I think John Rahm, if I'm not mistaken, the page will turn here. I think John Rahm's at 3-under too, I believe. Xander Schauffele is at 2-under. Scotty Scheffler is at 1-under. Bryson DeChambeau is at even par. He's 5 shots back going into the round today. Justin Thomas is also at even par. He's 5 shots back out of the lead. And Rory McIlroy is sitting only at 1-over. He is 6 shots back. Dustin Johnson is 2-over. He is 7 shots back as we enter round 3 today out at Torrey Pines in San Diego. We're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper.